I'm at in Grapevine, Texas at the Gaylord Texan Hotel, and we're in the middle of the Truth About Cancer's Ultimate Life Symposium here in October of 2016. And I am honored to have Nico and Davila Hood with me here.
Thanks, Tyler.
Shake your hand, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we're so excited that you're here. And wow, you know, it was just a few months ago, maybe 2 months ago, that I saw an interview with you that Polly Tommy of Vaxxed had done. And you were talking about your vaccine injured child and you being district attorney in Bexar County, not Bexar.
Yeah, not Bexar, Bear County, you're right.
You're
right,
so
you know.
We used to live in Spring Branch.
That's good.
And so I know how to say it, but you're the district attorney. And one of the things that you said in that interview that really struck me was about the evidence that you have, that we have against vaccines. So I just want you to share your story, Dobby, about your vaccine in your child, and Nico, I want you to share your perspective as a district attorney, prosecuting attorney. Are vaccines safe and effective?
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about this so much, we live it. I guess the thing that we want to start with is we start from the position of what we're for, not against. We are not against anything. We're for our kids. And if you could show us that anything is going to benefit our children, we're all in. And we showed that by believing whatever the medical community, and I'm not against the medical community, said to do about vaccines, and we did it. And so as a DA, as a prosecutor, I deal with circumstantial evidence, and I look at motives, right? And so all we did that really started a storm in our community and really internationally was share our testimony and give our opinion. Share our testimony and give our opinion. Our testimony is our journey with our son about how he was developing normally. We have the pictures like so many other families. Hundreds of thousands of other families share our story. We have pictures, we have video, he's reaching all his milestones, then something happened. Something happened, there was some intervening cause that made our son not be normal and not develop the way he was. And so we have to ask ourselves, what was that? We didn't drop him, we didn't get in a car accident, he wasn't exposed to any chemicals other than vaccines, and that was the only intervening cause, and it was immediate. It wasn't like it was months developing, a year, not even a week, it was immediate. I mean, it was almost like we were driving down the road, got in a car accident, we walk away, but our son doesn't. It was that type of an event. And so that you know, we shared that journey, and then in my opinion, in my wife's opinion, and it wasn't immediate, it wasn't like we just automatically thought it was vaccines. We believe that the vaccines caused either the tipping point, over the edge, the straw that broke the camel's back, whichever way you want to say it, that caused our son to be in the situation that he is now.
Wow. So, Javi, talk about what happened.
Well, Michael's now 6 years old. He just turned six last week. He's a beautiful little angel, little boy, brings a lot of joy to us. But yeah, he just recently started becoming verbal, slightly verbal, not completely. He does speak a little bit, but not in full sentences. He communicates mostly by pointing. But we saw that. I mean, he was developing correctly. The eye contact, the main thing I think for us was that, the eye contact. And I even feel it more now. It's coming back to me because of Saiter, our seven-month-old, who looks exactly like
Michael. Identical.
They're like, if you put a picture together of them, the same age, they're exactly like twins. So seeing Saiter, the way he's developing now, the way he's communicating with me, even at 7 months old, the eye contact that I had with Michael, the response to my voice, the response to him, you know, being that baby talk, and out of the sudden, you just kind of lose that. You know, we have videos of Michael doing that to us, like smiling at us, and out of the sudden, Michael.
Nothing.
Michael, nothing. We thought he couldn't hear. We thought maybe, you know, he just, we did all this other testing as well. I mean, he hears perfectly fine. And to this day, you know, now he responds to his name a lot better. But it took us years and until we started like kind of looking into what was it, you know, what happened to this kid. And then we have four children. So we kind of went the same route with the first two, Maya and Michael, who were vaccinated. And Maya even had some reactions as well with the skin allergy and hives, breaking out in hives. And then our two youngest ones, Leah and Zaiter, have never been vaccinated. They're completely, I mean, the way they develop is completely different.
It's apples and oranges. I tell people that we became an unintentional study. We have two children that we followed the schedule. And again, we didn't know any better. We followed the schedule. And our first daughter, tremendous hives after like 4 or 6 months. I don't remember which round. They thought it was an autoimmune disease. First time parents were freaking out. We had some fool actually tell Davi that she was allergic to breast milk, which is insane. And you know, she loves breastfeeding our children. and poked her and prodded her. Nobody gave us an answer. So we just kind of went on. We just didn't know. We didn't know anything about it. And we didn't even think about vaccines. I mean, when it happened immediately after also, but God forbid anybody blames the vaccines. And so, and then we, and to this day, Maya, and we're in the process of detoxing her too. We have to look at her, even though she hasn't been vaccinated since she was 3, she's 8 now. She sleeps and scratches in her sleep. She does jujitsu, and when she sweats and her gi, she has these ringworms around her, her elbows and her joints. And so she has skin allergies. So we feel with, and this is our opinion, and it's very frustrating for me. I'm a type A personality. You know, I trust the Lord, you know, and I defer to him on everything I do, but in my flesh, I'm a very take control type of person. And when people try to tell me that your son was born this way, or there's no correlation, or you're stupid to have this opinion, or how can you go against science? I'm like, look, my oath as a prosecutor is to ensure that justice is done. What does that mean? It means that we get it right. I do that for a living every day. I look at circumstantial evidence, I look at direct evidence, I look at expert evidence, I deal with science and theories. So this is, I mean, all I'm doing is wearing my lawyer hat, either as a defense attorney or as a prosecutor, for our children and for this issue. And so, to me, it just makes complete sense that there's a correlation. And then people say, well, there's correlation but not causation. I hear that argument all the time, right? Well, in my world, correlation means investigation. But in this world, correlation means stop your investigation. That makes no sense to me. And the analogy I told someone the other day, if someone said, Mr. DA, there is a murder at 123 Street, and we have 5 suspects because there are only 5 people in the house. Okay, well, who caused the murder? We don't know. We have correlation between suspect number 1, but no causation between any of them. But don't consider suspect number 1 anymore. That's insane to me. They're all suspects still. Until you can show me what the cause is, they're all suspects. And nobody can tell us why our son is on the spectrum of autism, why he was developing normally, why all of a sudden that after that round of vaccines, that was it. And that's not a shot against doctors, that's not a shot against anything. It's a plug for truth. I mean, we obviously want to find out the truth, and we're amongst hundreds of thousands of other parents. In my common sense approach, I look at 1 in 15,000 children that were autistic in the 70s when I was born, early 70s. And today, as you and I speak, it's 1 in 43. And with a projection, as you know, in 16 years of being 1 in 2, and people are just going to sit around and be politically correct and not worry about it?
I know, you know, that's that example that you gave, though, about the murder suspects, that's exactly what happens today with vaccines. Child's injured. It could. We don't know what it is, but we know it's not vaccines.
That's right.
Exactly. They're like ruling it out right away.
Well, how do you know it's not vaccines?
You know, I got into somewhat of a storm. I won't say the word I normally use. a bleep storm at home, because we gave an opinion. We shared our testimony. We gave an opinion that vaccines, we believe, was the tipping point or caused autism in our son. And then everybody was just freaked out. Everyone is okay with the concept that penicillin is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Nobody can test that. But vaccines are for everybody.
Right.
That makes no sense to me. I mean, it just doesn't pass the common sense test that I'm trained to use in analyzing situations, just evidence, right? Data.
Do you think there's enough evidence now that you could prosecute vaccines in a court of law?
In my humble opinion, yes. I mean, we go on circumstantial evidence all the time. We don't. Direct evidence is someone that says, hey, we have blood, we have DNA, we have gunshot powder residue on your hands. That's direct evidence. And then you have testimonial evidence, like you saw the murder, you saw the incident happen. And then you have hearsay. Well, I heard someone else say, that's not admissible in court. And so I get that. But we look at circumstantial evidence. Someone walks into a house, there's gunshots, and then the person walks out the back. You walk in behind that person, and there's someone passed away in the house. Well, you didn't see the person shoot the person in the house. You heard shots, you saw them walk in, you saw them walk out, and there's no one else in the house, and then you have a dead body. That's circumstantial evidence that that person committed the murder. Now, does that mean we don't prosecute that case? Of course not. We prosecute the case. So in analyzing this case, I look at the high level of vaccines that have entered into our children's lives. I look at the high rate of autism. That's correlation, I agree. That doesn't mean it's necessarily causation, but that means investigation. We need to continue to investigate.
It's not only autism, you know, there's like vaccine injuries that happen immediately that are, you know, just paralysis, like even to like death and other stuff that, you know, causes those injuries like right away, and they're immediate as well. You know, I mean, we were able to see our son because of the developmental issue, but there's been other and stories of people that have come out and told us that we even know that we didn't know that we're going through that stuff. And that's kind of, I think, even though it's been so hard because everything, you know, that has been said about us and like, what are you guys, you know, it's like Nico said, this is our story. We're living it. This is our son, you know? And as hard as it is to take it, I'm also grateful because what is that to other families? It's made them question and have those, know that they have a choice for now. I mean, at least we do. And just have that question, you know, ask about it. Think about your kids. Think about your, you know, we think about our son every day. And I wish now it would have been different back then. Somebody had told me all of this because that wasn't there. But we just got what we were told when there wasn't, I didn't educate myself as much as I should have, I think.
We lived with that guilt tie for a long time. Me as a protector, I think to myself, man, I didn't protect my son. You know, it's hard for me. And we prayed about it. You know, the Lord has revealed us and said, look, it's not your fault. You made the best decision you could at the time with the information provided to you at that time. And we get that now, but it's still hard in the flesh. You know, I can see Davi gets emotional because we take things for granted. You and I have been staring at each other longer than Michael has stared at us his entire life. I mean, we get glimpses, we'll get this, he'll look at us, but we've never had this much attention from him, a glare. The first time he looked at me and said, Papi, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. It brought tears to my eyes. He touches my face, he smiles from ear to ear. He's got an angelic smile. And, so, and we're not giving up, though, by the way. I mean, to me, again, back to your point earlier, one in two children have a chronic illness. One in two kids, I'm talking about ADHD, peanut allergy. Who the hell ever heard of a peanut allergy in our day? They didn't. Sinuses, allergies, behavioral disorder, diabetes, cancer, everything. And I was at a function about a month and a half ago. I won't say his name. He's a doctor in San Antonio locally. He's in his 80s and he's retired. He was involved in politics for many years. And he always calls me my DA. How's my DA? He's just a really sweet man. And he goes, how's my DA? And I said, oh, doctor, so-and-so. I said, I'm blessed, thank you. This is right after all this stuff happened back in San Antonio. She goes, whatever you're onto, keep it up. He looks right at me. I go, excuse me, sir? He goes, keep it up, whatever you're onto. And he's like, about what you're going through right now. And I said, well, it's not what I'm onto, it's what a lot of people are onto. I just vocalized it, you know, being in the position I was in. He's like, I started practicing medicine in 1959. And when I started practicing medicine, we didn't have cancer. We definitely didn't have autism. We didn't have allergies. We didn't have peanut allergies. He mentioned all these things they didn't have back then. He goes, and I talk to my doctor friends now that are practicing, and they don't have an answer why. I have an opinion. They don't have an answer, so keep it up. They told me that. And that was it. He just wanted to encourage me. I thought that was nice that he said that. I really appreciated that.
It is. That is encouraging. And, you know, I want to encourage you as much as you want to place the guilt on yourself and place the blame. It's not your fault.
Oh, yes,
sir. You did what you did because you loved your son. You were trying to protect your son from getting ill. You were trying. You believed the lies that they told you. So if anyone's to blame, it's the people that are spreading the lies about vaccines, not you. So you guys are just an inspiration to me and my wife and a lot of people that have seen your interview. And so
That means a lot to me. And I want to make sure I get this in because I want to be real clear about this. We are not against the medical community. Matter of fact, one of my 4 points of advocacy is to protect the medical community. Let them have an opinion. I don't know when vaccines became the identity of the medical community. Just like the death penalty issue is not an identity of a DA. A DA can be for the death penalty, a DA can be against it. I mean, so I don't understand why doctors or the medical community thinks that vaccines are their identity. I think there's so much more than vaccines. A doctor is so much more than just a shot. I mean, you can go get a flu shot at Walgreens. I mean, that's like a vending machine to me. I mean, anybody can give it. Doctors are so much more. We're blessed to have responsible doctors truly studying like what you're teaching here and what these doctors are teaching here. And so I just want to be real clear about that as well, because we have so many doctor friends. We've been blessed by doctors over the years, but it's not their identity, in my opinion. And shame on the big pharma companies that are trying to deceive the rest, because that's where it really starts, right? That's where it is. Because I just follow the money. I follow the motive.
That's what you do in investigation.
That's what I do in my career. That's right.
Yeah, and you're right. Some doctors are good people. They've been miseducated when it comes to vaccines.
I agree.
Don't give up. There's always hope.
Amen.
We're here at the Ultimate Life Symposium. In just about an hour, Dr. Rasha Guitar is about to speak. I want you guys to go listen to him.
Can't wait.
Because his son was autistic. And he totally turned him around.
Amen.
And he recently won a North American Kickboxing Championship.
Oh, I train also, man. I can't.
I'm going to join him. We'll connect you with him because there might be some things that he can help you with your son.
Last note, I know you're a believer also. Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Right.
We just need to educate ourselves, just knowledge in every aspect of our lives. And I've always told people, we advocate four things. You know, number one, parents, educate yourself. Number two, let doctors be doctors. Let them have an opinion on whether to vaccinate or not vaccinate. Number three, don't force vaccines on parents. Let them have a choice. And number four, we should demand the same safety studies on vaccines as any other pharmaceutical drug. And we all know that's not what's happening. Those are the four things. And in the end, after that, we've been saying this consistently. After those four things, if you want to vaccinate, that's on you. That's it. But don't tell me that I have to or someone else. Everyone can have an opinion. And we have freedom of thought so far, for now. And so I support that. So I just support choice in vaccines.
We do too. Yeah. Big boys and big girls.
That's
make
right.
up your own mind. Don't need to be forced by
that's
it.
That's right. No. Just educate yourself. Well, you're a blessing to the world, Ty. You and your wife.
To us.
Thanks, brother. I received that. You too,
hey,
Daddy.
Thank you
God
so
bless
much.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.